The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue this evening, Genesis 9, where we'll pick up the exegesis, verses 12 through 17. All right, if you've not already done so, now's the time to make sure that you are under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. You have utilized the rebound technique as so intended in regards to dealing with our personal sin in life. Place yourself in the proper position spiritually so that you can, once again this evening, assimilate this information undistorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound, if necessary, as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for the veracity of your word, the revelation of it to mankind, and thank you for the ability to understand it and see it purely, undistorted by the sin nature, via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in verses 8 through 11, we saw that God confirmed the establishment of a new covenant with Noah, that covenant, that promise, contract, being that he would not ever again bring about a universal flood, destroying the habitat and, if you will, the environment and mankind, the human race, apart from the exceptions of those that remained on the ark in that respect. Verse 8, and God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you, with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. So the covenant pertains to, in umbrellas, all air-breathing, living animals, including humanity and their descendants. In verse 11, and I establish my covenant with you. We're not told when that occurs exactly, but it will have occurred by the time we get to verse 17 in our next set of verses. And all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, verse 11. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. Now in verses 12 through 17, we have the sign of the covenant. A reminder, a memorial, if you will, memoriam in regards to this promise given to mankind. All right, looking at these sets of verses here. Okay. Once again. That's just crazy. It's working when I get to the parsing pages, it goes blank. I guess it's as boring to the iPad as it is probably to some people. Excuse, please. Anybody knows a good number to the Exorcist? Could use one on this. All right, here we go. And God said, be patient. Sure good thing we did that doctrine. This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you. And he said, God, literally, you had the wow consecutive, our typical verb to say, Calum Perfect, third masculine singular, Amar, A-M-A-R. Elohim, common masculine plural absolute, the one speaking. This is the sign of the covenant. This is the adjective feminine singular, Zoth, Z-O-T-H. Is understood, predicate adjective. Then our noun for sign, common both singular construct, oath, zoth oath, O-T-H. The sign of the covenant. The covenant is a definite article, common feminine singular absolute, our noun, barith, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H, barith. Which I am making between me and you. The relative pronoun Asher, A-S-H-E-R, which I myself literally am making or giving. You have the pronoun, first of all, first common singular, Ani, emphatic, I myself, A-N-I-Y. Followed with the cow participle, masculine singular, absolute of the verb to give, nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, which I myself am giving, hence making. Between me and you, you had the preposition with the first common singular suffix, bayin, or bayin, B-A-Y-I-N. Follow the wow conjunction and the preposition with the second masculine singular suffix by and repeated. First common singular between me, second common singular, second masculine plural suffix between you. So between me and between you. The suffix is what changes those in view. And every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. Wow conjunction. Then our preposition by and repeated here without any suffix, between. Every living creature, you have the common masculine singular construct or noun kol, every or all, followed with the common feminine singular noun absolute, nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, followed with the adjective feminine singular absolute, K, T-H-A-Y, an all-breathing, living thing, literally, that is with you. You have your relative pronoun, Asher, S-H-E-R, repeated. With you is your preposition, eth, E-T-H, here with the second masculine plural suffix, between every breathing, living thing, which is with you. For all successive generations, you have the preposition, lamed. Follow with our noun for generations, common masculine plural construct dor, D-O-R, in perpetuity, literally forever. You had a common masculine singular absolute, our term olam, O-L-A-M, our noun, forever, perpetual, successive. Verse 13, I set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. You have the sign of the direct object, followed with the common feminine singular construct, with the first common masculine, first common singular suffix. Our word for bow here is keshet, keshet, Q-E-S-H-E-T-H, my bow, used 77 times. I give, or as they translate it here, set, common plural, a common perfect, excuse me, K, cow perfect, first common singular of the verb nathan repeated. I have gave, set. This indicates that this has occurred. Perfect looks at the past tense. In the cloud, you have the preposition bait, followed with the definite article, and our noun, common masculine singular absolute, word for cloud is anan, A-N-A-N. In the cloud, that noun is used 99 times in the Old Testament. Wow, consecutive, followed with the cow perfect third feminine singular of the verb hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, to become, and it will become, if you will. And then we have the preposition lamed, followed with our noun for sign again, oath, O-T-H, for a sign, sign of, in the construct, covenant, common feminine singular absolute, berith, repeated, followed with the preposition bym with the first common singular suffix, between me, wow conjunction, preposition bym repeated, B-A-Y-I-N, followed with the definite article, and here common feminine singular absolute, noun eretz, between me and between the earth. Ha Eretz, E-R-E-T-S. And it will become as a sign of a covenant between me and between the earth. Verse 14, and it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bowl will be seen in the cloud. You have the wow consecutive, followed with the cow perfect third masculine singer, Hayah, again, H-A-Y-H. Here, and it will come to pass, it will become or come to pass, followed with the preposition bait, and the verb PL infinitive construct with the first common singular suffix. Our word for cloud here, here is the verb anan, A-N-A-N. Literally, when my clouding is how you would translate the Hebrew. The idea is when I bring or divine, when I bring a cloud is how the New American Standard chooses to translate it. When he divines it, when my casting of would be another translation. Here it emphasizes this particular word, which is lost completely in the English. In the Hebrew, it emphasizes God's omnipotence, his control over the weather. It is used in connection with witchcraft or divination and the idea of conjuring a spell. So it's like the idea, the picture is God out of nothing, invisible, all of a sudden a cloud appears, like magic, see. And this emphasizes God's omnipotence and control over the weather in formulating these things. An example of this word used in a bad sense, Leviticus 19:6. Just one of those fun little gems that you run across when you're in the original. 19:26. You should not eat anything with the blood, nor practice divination. That's our PL intensive anon clouding word. So, obviously, in context, it's not anything evil, but weather clouds as they form, obviously we understand scientifically how it comes about, but it's like 1 second the sky is clear, the next thing you look up, there's clouds, like out of nowhere, see. This is, continuing here with our notes, what's called an onomatopoetic, word, where the sound of making, if you will, is similar to its product, anam. Ta-da! So, when my clouding, literally in the Hebrew, a cloud, is followed again with our noun common masculine singular absolute, anon. So anon, anon, making a cloud. Onomatopoetic. Over the earth, you have the preposition all, A-L, A-L, followed with a definite article, then our noun for earth, again, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Followed with then the vowel consecutive, and then we had the nifl verb, passive, perfect third feminine singular, ra'ah, to be seen, R-A-A-H. And the common feminine singular absolute, again, the word for the bow, kesheth, Q-E-S-H-E-T-H. And when it is seen, then you have the preposition bait, followed with a definite article, our noun for cloud again, anon, repeated. You have literally, and it will be seen, the bow in the cloud. All right, verse 15. So predicated upon this, we have God recalling, if you will, language of accommodation, the covenant. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. While consecutive, our verb here, to remember, recall, cal, perfect, first common singer, zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. I will remember. You have the sign of the direct object. Then our noun for covenant, feminine singer, absolute, with the first common singer suffix, bereath, B-E-R. I-Y-T-H. My covenant, which is between me and you, a relative pronoun, a share, typical construction we saw earlier, followed with a preposition with first common singular suffix, bayin, B-A-Y-I-N, between me, first person suffix, and while conjunction, between you all, you have the preposition repeated by in with a second masculine plural suffix. Then you have the wow conjunction, the preposition by in without any suffix. And then every living creature of all flesh. Kol is your typical verb for every, K-O-L, the noun. Again, living creature is our typical construction here, nephesh plus K, every living, breathing, live thing, literally, N-E-P-H-E-S-H plus K, C-H-A-Y, of all flesh, you have the preposition bait, then the noun call repeated, then our noun for flesh here, common masculine singer absolute, Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. Literally, which is between me and between you all and between every breathing live thing among all of flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. While conjunction, you have the negative particle lo, L-O, attached to the verb here, hayah, cal imperfect, third masculine singular, H-A-Y-A-H, and it will not come to pass, or it will not become. Then you have the preposition od, O-D, again, followed with a definite article, noun, common masculine plural absolute, our word for waters, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M, followed with a preposition lamed, and then our noun for flood, common masculine singular absolute, mabul, M-A-B-B-U-L. And it will not come to pass again the waters of a flood to destroy all flesh. You have the preposition lamed, with the PL infinitive here, shakath, to utterly destroy or ruin, as the word may be translated, S-H-A-C-H-A-T-H, for utterly destroying or ruining. You translate the infinitive in the Hebrew like a participle, if it's not complicated enough for you. All flesh, again, kol bashar. Verse 16, when the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it. So God isn't some disinterested entity floating around in space. He has an interest in all things. And even a rainbow, he is visually taking this in. Just certain things that come out here. You have wow consecutive, verb cal, perfect, third feminine singular, ha ya, followed with a definite article, and then our word for bow, our noun for bow, kesheth, Q E S H E T H. When it comes to pass the bow, in the cloud is preposition bait, definite article, and noun for cloud again, anan, A N A N. Then I will look upon it, wow consecutive, cal perfect, first common singular with the third feminine singular suffix, our verb ra'ah, to see, R-A-A-H. For a purpose of, again, we have the preposition lamed introducing our infinitive to remember, zakar, Z-A-K-A-R, remembering. The covenant of perpetuity or everlasting covenant, berith, our noun berith, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H. Followed with the noun for forever, eternity, if you will, if it may be, olam, O-L-A-M. To remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth, in this case. Between God, our preposition bayin, followed with our noun for God, Elohim, a wow conjunction, then between bayin, preposition bayin again, or bayin, I'm saying bayin, bayin, short A or long A. Every living creature, again we have our construction, kol nefesh K, of all flesh, among all flesh, preposition bait, then kol bashar, again, construction we've seen already, which is on the earth, literally relative pronoun asher. Our word on or upon is a preposition all, A-L, followed with definite article, or our noun, common feminine singular absolute eretz, literally remembering or to remember for the purpose. The covenant of perpetuity, everlasting, between God and between every living thing among all of flesh which is upon the earth. Then verse 17, and God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Well, consecutive, to say, or mar, or verb amar, A-M-A-R, cal and perfect third masculine singular. Elohim, the person speaking, to Noah, preposition El, E-L, proper noun, transliterated, Noach, Noah. And he said, God to Noah, this is the sign of, is the adjective, feminine singular Zoth, again, Z-O-T-H, followed with our noun for sign, in the construct, common both singular, oath, zoth oath, O-T-H. The covenant, berith, with the definite article here, common feminine singular, absolute, B-E-R-I-Y-T-H. You can translate, or you can transliterate the yod or not. Doesn't make much difference, but sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I try to keep on top of it, make it all the same for you. bereath the covenant which I have established here between me and all flesh that is on the earth, which Asher, in our verb here to establish, as we saw in the preceding verses, Hifil, perfect, first common singular, Qum, Q-U-M, have cause to establish or stand. Hifil, perfect, looks at the fact that it has been confirmed positively at this point. Past tense. Between me, our preposition bayin with the first common singular suffix, and, while bayin repeated, every and all flesh, your noun kol, followed with our noun for flesh, bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, that is on the earth, relative pronoun asher, upon, preposition all, A-L, the earth, definite article, ha-eretz, is a noun, between me and between all of flesh, which is upon the earth. Then you have the end of paragraph fe, in the Hebrew text. All right. You know that wouldn't have taken so long if my projector had worked right. Rereading the verses, verse 12. And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations." Verse 13, "I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth." In verse 14, "It will come about when clouding a cloud over the earth," literally, conjuring up a cloud is the idea, "that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Verse 15, "I will remember my covenant, which is here between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh." Verse 16, "When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Verse 17, "And God said to Noah, 'This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth.'" Now, this is verses 12 through 17. 1. The flood story ends here with the determination by God to create a new phenomenon to commemorate the covenant. A new thing is going to come into existence. Something that has never before seen by planet Earth or any of its inhabitants. A rainbow. As part of the environmental change, etc. But most specifically and purpose for God evidencing His hand and His word to the human race. So too, the terminology here in our verses used in conclusion of the flood event. This ends the flood story in its entirety. We start post-flood in the next set of verses. The terminology used in conclusion echoes the terminology pre-flood. Our term covenant, wreath, we saw back in chapter 6, 18, in anticipation of the covenant. Here we have it in verses 12, 13, and 15 of chapter 9. We see generations, that term repeated, dor in the Hebrew, D-O-R. Back in 6, 9, it was used in the context of the generations of Noah. Now we see it again, a reference here in 9, verse 12, chapter 9, verse 12. Our see verb, look, ra'ah, of God looking, observing, used in 6:12, as God looked on the earth, our term. Now we see it again in we saw it also in 7:1. where he's speaking to Noah, I have seen to be righteous before me, you, Noah, in this time. And now we see it again repeated in verses 14 and 16 in chapter 9. Our verb to establish, to cause to stand, kum. Again, 6:18. The anticipation of the covenant, the twix that one is coming. Chapter 9, verse 17 is used. Our term earth, eretz, 6:11, 12, 13, and 17. Now, in verses 13 and 14, 16 and 17 of chapter 9. So you have these parallels in these terms. Our term flesh, bashar, used several times in chapter 6, verses 12, 13, 17, and 19. Now again in 9, in verses 15, 16, and 17. And then our key word, flood, mabul, as God reveals that's how he's going to destroy the world. Back in 6, verse 17, we see again used in the context of not ever doing it again, chapter 9, verse 15. So a lot of these words are repeated. They echo the events before the flood, the coming judgment, and now they again come up here in terms of a covenant, a promise, in regards to all that's referred to in these terms. So three, the preceding obviously was in the context of the impending judgment to destroy all flesh. Back in 6:17, Lamed, Shekah, Kol, Bashar, words that are repeated. Now it is rewritten in a joyful major key. One recognizes using the terms in the face of impending doom on the planet. Now these words are being used in a very uplifting, joyful way. In a term of brightness and hope and happiness. So it is now rewritten, history, if you will, in a joyful major key of God promising not to ever bring this planet under such all-inclusive destruction again. So four, its theme in regards to the writing is, quote, the sign of the covenant. If you look at it as a story or as a song, in this regard, the theme is the sign of the covenant here in these particular verses, Oth Ha Barith. Five, the arrangement then is written in the, quote, bow in the cloud. the rainbow in view. So the theme is the sign of the covenant, the arrangement, however else you might describe it, is the bow in the cloud. Kesheth ba bet anan. Verses 13, 14, and 16. So six, the new memorial of creation that is now being set forth by God is that commonly called the rainbow. The rainbow. A thing of mystique, of legend. Find a pot of gold at the end of it, if you can get to the end of it. You know, all these things. This is something that was especially established by God for the purpose of recall in regards to his promise to man for grace in spite of our evil. And that the human race will exist on this planet, not ever have to concern themselves again of getting on a boat to escape disaster. So seven, it was set, literally given, Nathan, by God for this purpose. Obviously, science, meteorologists, you know, people of that ilk, they'll sit there and they'll explain to you, you know, how all this works. But the reality is is that God created it. And it was given to us, this spectrum of colors that occurs not every time there's a rainstorm, but only on when the conditions are perfectly right. So the past tense now, the cal perfect form of the verb set. In verse 13, I set my bow in the cloud. This past tense at least infers that the first occurrence of a rainbow was during or immediately preceding the narrative. As he was speaking, or something that they looked up and go, look at that. The language, the timing of it all, at least infers that a rainbow has been seen by the time of speaking to them by God in this narrative. 9, the Hifil perfect tense, causative in action, of established in verse 17, corroborates this view that the covenant has been established, has been caused to be established. He's done it already as he speaks those words in verse 17. So that corroborates these perfect tenses of these verbs in both cases. It points to the fact that they've got to see their first rainbow. 10, the partners now of the covenant, the contract with the opposite between the two parties, are referred to in 5 different ways here throughout these verses. In verse 12, is seen to be between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. B, in verse 13, between me and the earth. Verse 15, point C, between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. D, in verse 16, between God, speaking of himself in the third person, which is weird, and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And then E, in verse 17, between me and all flesh that is on the earth. So we have here 5 different ways that the parties are referred to in the pact that is made with God. So 11, the use of repetition, obviously, is to underscore the promise for the future of life on dry land. Everything that could be considered a part of the domain of terra firma is affected with this covenant. 12, now the phrase, quote, for all successive generations, lamed dor olam, end quote, indicates longevity of promise through the remainder of human history. Till the end of time, as this universe will know it, this promise will stand. Never again, no matter what kind of conjuring up Hollywood may come up with regards to destroying this planet with water in such a fashion, will it ever occur. So it's for perpetuity, for all successive generations, no matter what state spiritually mankind may be in otherwise. 13, now the noun sign takes on various forms in the Bible, from miracles to striking coincidences to national customs. Items of clothing are seen as signs, and it's seen in Genesis 1:14 and 4:15 having learning and warning significance. We know what a sign is. A sign points to something greater. The sign isn't the real issue at hand. You see, a curve sign in the road, it's not the sign that's the issue. It's that curve in the road that's the issue. But it points to that. See? So we recognize what a sign is. And in the Bible, it takes on various forms to point to something different, such as through miracles, like Deuteronomy 6:22. In regards to God delivering the Exodus and the His representation, manifestation towards Egypt, and so doing, moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. They're called great and distressing signs. As phenomenal as they may be, obviously the ramifications regards to them and what they did was a judgment in and of itself. Isaiah 7:11. So miracles are thrown in the mix as signs. Lord spoke again to Ahaz, verse 10, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven. Something supernatural. Ask anything. So then in the form of striking coincidences, Exodus 3:12. Moses speaking to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, verse 11, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. Verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Aspects of coincidence. Deja vu type of scenarios, you know, almost. Obviously, there are no real, if you will, coincidences, no more than there is luck. There, the same mountain, they will worship God. That is an indicator that God's with him. Then national customs can be utilized as signs. Exodus 31:13. But as for you, again, speaking to Moses, verse 13, Exodus 31, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, part of the law. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. It is to be a custom, just like our 4th of July or whatever. So, here are the Sabbaths. Sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, sets you apart. Items of clothing, that example, Deuteronomy 6:8. In regards to the law, Bible doctrine, parents, their responsibility to their children. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Everything in regards to communication with your children should always be tempered with doctrine. Either understood or explicitly. See. But Bible doctrine to your children, while I can teach the doctrine, they're old enough to sit in here and listen or listen to a prep school teacher, we can do our part in that regards. Ultimately, that responsibility lies on the parent. Don't go blaming your pastor or prep school teacher if your children end up being spiritually defunct. Where were you at mom and dad? How much was it part of your repertoire, your conversations in the household? Are you all so preoccupied with everything else in the world, you don't have time to talk doctrine? A good time to always, as a reminder to a parent, when it is when you need to bring it forth is when something occurs and your child gets cross or conflict with the parent. That's a good time to bring in doctrine. And you just keep it going. If they think it's boring, well, bore them. You could do worse. Of course, that's not the end-all be-all. Ultimately, they got to be positive for it to truly have its ultimate result. Verse 8, and here, in addition to speaking and communicating, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, the things that they would wear, the law, etc. They would keep it with them as a constant reminder, like people that carry around the New Testament in their pockets all the time or something like that. See? An item as a sign. And then, as we saw back in Genesis 1, in regards to Cain and Abel, Cain, hands-off warning, or first of all, was the stellar space, the stars, and the heavenly bodies as signs to point to doctrine. And then Cain in 4:15. They have learning and warning significance. 14, the common denominator of these signs, for all I'm concerned, is that they are appointed by God. They are appointed by God. And it is His consecration of them that make them a portent of things to come and things having already occurred. It's because He dedicates it or consecrates it that makes it a sign worthy of true significance. And that what is associated in regard to these things indeed are to happen. 15. Circumcision is called a, quote, sign, end quote, of the Abrahamic covenant. It is something that teaches isolation of the sin nature. Circumcision, removing the unnecessary skin on the male phallus, is like isolating the sin nature. It's useless, it's worthless in and of itself. And it's became part of a practice, a custom of the Hebrew race, according to God's commands and imperatives, and it is a sign, and it points to, obviously, the work of Christ on the cross in regards to sin. Genesis 17:11, we'll see it in that vein with Abraham and God's promise with him. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. Come on, God, couldn't you just done a handshake here? That'd been me if I was Abraham. Really? You want this for a sign? Come on, give me a break. All right, 14. You can't have a little humor in doctrine, and I guess you're not going to find it otherwise, probably. 14, the common denominator, again, of these signs is that they are appointed by God, and it's His consecration of them that make them important in things to come and things having already occurred. 15, circumcision is called a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. 16, signs remind men to God's presence and obligation. But here in these verses, the rainbow is a sign that is seen by man, but reminds God of His promise. Now, obviously, God doesn't have to be reminded, but it's language of accommodation. It's language of accommodation. 17, my bow in the cloud. That phrase refers to the common phenomenon seen by man after a rain shower. 18, it's a phenomenon governed by God as to its occurrence. 19, this is recognizing the fact that not every cloud produces a rainbow. It is exceptional. And again, the environment has to be perfect, the light, etc., for one of these to be produced, has to be exactly in place. And every time you see a rainbow, either during or after rain, storm, recognize that God's hand is in that. He purposely is producing it. As a reminder for any men otherwise who could see it, that might know doctrine, but here, even more so, even to his own person, is a reminder. So my bow in the cloud refers to the common phenomenon seen by men after a rain shower. 18 is phenomenon governed by God as to its occurrence. 19, this is recognizing the fact that not every cloud produces a rainbow. 20, this is the doctrine of verse 14. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud. The doctrine of that verse is God is one that is particularly behind it. 21, while men may scientifically explain how a rainbow forms, its occurrence is regulated by God providing perfect conditions for its image. The rainbow was not a natural phenomenon before the flood, so Noah and his sons are being introduced to it for the first time. 23, they knew of bows and arrows, so that term obviously is not new, bow, but not this atmospheric phenomenon. To see it in such form is brand new. So 24, bow was not a new term for them, only its application was new. 25, neither did they know of clouds in the sky in their years before the flood under the vapor canopy. The conditions were constant. There was no rain. The ground was watered through dew, a heavy dew. And rain, clouds, that atmospheric condition was foreign until the flood. So, in regards to the clouds themselves, 26, now a new term is also introduced that was to become a regular part of their speech. Cloud, anon. Now verse 14 is the prophecies to verse 15. In other words, verse 15 is conditional on verse 14. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud. That provides the conditions of verse 15 then to happen. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, etc. 28, when God provides the perfect conditions for a rainbow, making it visible, he is reminded of his covenant. 29, the phrase, then I will remember, while as a car, is the second time God has said remember in the story. The first, point 30, was at the height of the flood, God remembered Noah. Back in 8, verse 1. So 31, God's remembering looks to his sovereign determination to act. So, each time the rainbow, this is what has been pictured here, each time a rainbow appears, it's God determining to withhold his wrath upon this planet, to look at it in that facet, in that vein. See? I promised I wouldn't destroy him again. And he may even be saying it in that way, who knows. But remembering is language of commendation, highlighting his sovereignty his will, his determination to act upon something, as he obviously acted on Noah's behalf. So 32, the parallels remembering, highlights that his action in both cases centers on the presence of positive volition, as you tie them together. Centers on the presence of positive volition. So while he, in essence, is pictured him recalling that he made a promise not to destroy the planet, the other aspect of it is why? Because positive volition. That's what's being done here in these verses. The verses are almost as phenomenal in their insight as the rainbow is in regards to his physical existence. It's really cool stuff. 33, the remembering in our verses looks to God's pledge for the future and remembering his covenant, whereas all of creation is blessed by association with positive volition in grace. In grace, see. 34, there will never be a repeat of the great flood. 35, verse 16 then reemphasizes the promises of verses 14 and 15. When the bow is in a cloud, then I'll look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant. That reemphasizes the promise of verses 14 and 15. Not to ever again destroy the earth with a flood. 36, the covenant itself here is described as everlasting, harmonizing the promise with the successive generations in verse 12. So you have those ideas, concepts tied together. 37, further, God speaks of himself here in the third person as a covenant being between God by an Elohim, preposition with are now for God, and every air-breathing life of flesh. 38, this to illustrate that his personal promise is cemented in his essence and attributes such as omnipotence and immutability. Speaking of himself in the third person is ascribing to himself the powers of being God. See. As one may say, they may say their name to emphasize their character or their person, what they're capable of. That's why you have him speaking in the third person, at least one of the reasons, in this particular case. To emphasize that this promise is cemented in his person. Nothing, obviously, then can break it. So 39, verse 17, then reemphasize the declaration of verse 12. This is a sign of covenant which I'm making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. Echoed in verse 17. 40, combined, the repetition underscores the importance of the rainbow as a, quote, sign of promise, end quote, for human history. 41, the verses are designed to capture the attention of mankind to consider the significance illustrated in the rainbow. 42, this as it is a promise of God to spare, quote, all flesh which is upon the earth, end quote, from certain annihilation for another flood cataclysm. 43, even though man may forget and even, quote, stain, end quote, the rainbow symbolically for their own use and signs, God will never forget. No matter how corrupt, evil man may come, may become, there is a pact that God has made with all of human race. This to benefit population that otherwise in the minority comes out of all that. So 44, the flood story ends on the fanfare of this promise. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to enlighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.